so much older then. I'm younger than that now.
Welcome to Growing Bolder, the program where you're going to meet some people who will show you how to get more out of your life than you ever dreamed possible. People who made some simple changes that led them down the road towards opening doors to thoughts and ideas that they'd given up on long before. I'm Bill Schaefer with Mark Middleton, asking you to hang out with us for a little while and see what happens.
Yeah, and here's why. Because on today's program, you will hear from the fastest 85-year-old man in the world. And talk about following your passions. Actor Billy Bob Thornton will be here to tell us about his brand new musical album. We'll get a few tips from a certified financial advisor by the name of Helen Von Dalteren Fournier. And we'll meet Manette Monroe, a woman who became a medical doctor in her 50s and is already changing the lives of veterans who suffer from PTSD. Amazing people, amazing stories. It's time for Growing Bolder. We turn our attention now to someone whose entire career, well, it's pretty much been compromised and comprised by one Growing Bolder type of decision after another. She's appeared in over 30 feature films, a number of TV shows, including HBO's Entourage, and she's even graced the Broadway stage.
And folks, you know her. You know her from a movie role she played in 1983, which not only spun off a half a dozen sequels, it made her almost as big a holiday tradition as Bing Crosby. Let's welcome Ellen Griswold from National Lampoon's Vacation, Beverly D'Angelo. How are you, Beverly?
Well, I'm great. What a nice introduction.
You know what? You deserve it. You deserve it for not only what you did, but you deserve it for circling.
For keeping doing it.
for circling around again and coming back. Look, I'm not sure,
well,
because
that was easy. That was a why not.
Don't you, though? Don't you? I mean,
that was a why not.
The first time you do it, though, nobody expects anything. But then with with every sequel, Beverly, the expectations higher and higher and higher, and now here you are trying to make lightning strike again.
Well, you know, for Chevy and I, as I said, it was kind of a why not, because we just, we kind of like waft through and sprinkle some fairy dust on it and move on. But as far as trying to make lightning strike again and stuff, there was a lot of thoughtfulness put into this. I think it really comes down to something human in that. Just on the technical side, when Warner Brothers brought New Line, there was interest at New Line saying, hey, you know, we always loved those vacation movies. How can we rev this up again? They put a lot of thought in it to make a crowd pleaser, you know?
You know, that's a great point. Obviously, it's a funny movie, but maybe at its core, it's a relationship movie. And you certainly had a front row seat to what appears to have been a great relationship. I mean, your parents were married 62 years. Were those good 62 years, or was there something we don't know about?
When I look at it, my mother just passed away a couple of years ago, but when I look at it, I really was raised within a fantastic love affair. My parents met each other, got married 3 months later, and they had four kids, and we all, you know, as I said in retrospect, we all witnessed a fantastic love affair, and that's rare, and that's wonderful. You know, a love affair has ups and downs, but I mean, these people loved each other to the core, and I took a lot of that, I have to tell you, I took a lot of that to this role with Ellen from the very beginning, so much so that when, because I don't have a suburban bone in my body, I mean, I was brought up in the Midwest, but I've had a wild life, and so for me, it was really acting to play this, you know, long-suffering wife who was devoted to her husband and family, but I knew what it was all about, and in fact, when we did Vegas Vacation and Clark and Ellen renewed their vows, just on the spur of the moment, when he reproposes to Ellen, we stuck in my mother's name, and he said, do you, Ellen, Priscilla, Ruth, Smith, Clark, you know, or Griswold, take me to be your wedded husband? And I said, yes, but that was my mother's name, Priscilla Ruth Smith D'Angelo. She married my dad. They got married young, and it was fantastic. So, yeah, I really did have... I have an idea of what for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, sickness and in health really means. I know what that vow means. I've never fulfilled it. But I know what it means, yeah.
And, you know, I have no doubt that they were extremely proud of you, Beverly, and we are too at Growing
Boulder. Absolutely.
At Growing Boulder here, over 60 years old, still finding significant work in an industry where that's really, really hard to do. Have you bumped up against any of that ageism thing that you seem to find?
Well, you know, I had kids really late in life. I think I read some statistic that there were like 285 women that had kids at my age that year. I got pregnant at 48 and I gave birth to twins at 49. So I live a kind of interesting demographic life anyway, and that I'm at the young end of the baby boomer generation, but my kids are right in the mainstream. They're 14 years old. So for me, age is really, it sounds like a cliche, but for me, age is a number. Because culturally, I mean, it always surprises me when I, like, you know, when your kids go to school, you always make friends with some of the parents, and I call it my circle of moms, right? And if I, whenever I, you know, I go to a birthday party or something, I go, oh, wow, she's 47, you know. But it's really, I think it's a matter of experience. So it always surprises me when I read, like, how old I am, or someone will describe me, you know, in terms of my age. But yeah, it's a real thing. Bottom line is, it's a very real thing. And I think that for me, you know, the value of older women on television and in cinema has to do with seeing a woman at a stage in her life when she's kind of the sum of all of the things she's experienced. I love experience. I always have. Even as a kid, as a teenager, I was drawn to, like, getting experience. You know, I wanted to get out on my own at an early age. I wanted to have my life. I wanted to just know more about the world through experience. So I've always valued that, and I always value a good older person. But that's, you know, culturally, maybe we're coming around to that. I see more of that in television, especially. I see flawed characters. I see women that are fully rounded, that are older. They're not just like, I think the biggest, it has to do with writing. A lot of people write an older woman as simply an old version of a younger person, and that's not the value of being an older woman. You know, an older woman shouldn't be like viewed as like, well, how much is she keeping it together in comparison to a 40-year-old, you know, physically or something like that. Like this thing with Kate Jenner, I love it. I think John Oliver pointed it out that the first thing that Bruce Jenner does, you know, so Bruce Jenner turns, you know, he comes out as a woman, and it all becomes about his clothes and what he looks like. Like, welcome to the world of women. Yeah.
Well, folks, we're talking with Beverly D'Angelo, who is reprising her role as Ellen Griswold in National Lampoon's Vacation. But obviously, this is a woman with, you know, a lot of passion for her work, a lot of intellect for everything that's going on. In the final 90 seconds that we have here, what's the takeaway from your life, Beverly? What can we learn from you? Because it seems like you are adjusting. You spoke a minute ago about the sum of flaws, the sum of weaknesses. Sometimes
yeah,
those become strength.
I think it's real. I think for women, once you hit 60, you really have an opportunity for spiritual growth, whatever that means to you, and more growth as a human being. My life, if I could sum it up, I've lived a life that's devoted to creative expression more than a life that's built around a career. It's always been very important to me to feel that I have a voice creatively, and to find, that's just me, to find a place to put that. Now, people can put that creativity into building a family. Relationships have always been core. I've always been in pursuit of good personal relationships, or at least personal relationships. I wouldn't narrow it down to say looking for love, but that's been my guiding light, is love and how to perfect it.
Well, one of the things we know that you love to do in your interviews is encourage all of us to help in the fight against juvenile arthritis, which is a great cause, so we did want to mention that.
Thank you. Yeah, JAA.org is a place to go to where you can learn more about it, and thank you so much. And actually, I do have a little pet thing right now, speaking of family and love. My cousin, Molly Cruzman, she's making a documentary called Five Women, Four Seasons. And what she's done is track five women aged 18 to 23 who've gone to the top of a mountain and are living indigenously, as indigenous people, living primitively for a year. Documentary crew has come in once a month to film their journey of connecting on a very deep level with nature, and it's a story of women. You know, we hear millions of stories of man against wild, right? Man versus wild. That's one of our universal themes. This is about women within the wild. Five women, four seasons, to see a wonderful thing that she's doing. Yeah.
Well, Beverly, we want to thank you for the great moments that you've given us, and we know you will continue to as well through all of your talents, the great Beverly D'Angelo. Wish you could make your passion your lifestyle? Meet a woman who's combining her love of horses, problem solving, and medicine to offer up hope for people with PTSD. Next on Growing Boulder.
Support for Growing Boulder provided by
Rides with Uber help give older adults the freedom they need and deserve. Plus, many Medicare Advantage Flex cards help cover the cost of Uber rides to appointments and important deliveries with Uber Eats, like groceries and OTC medication. Learn more at uberhealth.com/card or call 1-866-827-4584.
The following interview was recorded before the passing of our guest.
Mark and Bill here, and of course, this is Growing Boulder, and it's time for our surviving and thriving story. With the right kind of care and support, and of course, the right attitude, it is possible to not only survive life's greatest challenges, but to actually thrive in the aftermath.
And don't you know people in their 50s who pretty much believe they've peaked in their careers? Well, not Minette Monroe, or I should say Dr. Monroe. In fact, she's one of those people who has kept evolving her entire life, trying new things, and most important, following her passions. And now she's combining her three favorite things in life to make a difference for others.
You want to talk a little bit about why you picked Tinkerbell?
Minette Monroe is one of those people who sees each day as a whole new opportunity, a chance to do one of the three things she loves the most: teaching, solving mysteries, and anything to do with horses.
Oh, absolutely. I rode as a child. I competed professionally for many years in the middle part of my life. And now I do it just, I still compete nationally, but as an amateur.
When it was time to find a career, she turned to teaching at high schools and community colleges. Could have done that forever. But at the age of 43, she developed an itch she couldn't scratch. The urge to try something different, something bold. She wanted to become a doctor.
But I heard that they didn't take old people in medical school. That if you're over 26, your odds of getting med school were very, very slim.
Instead of stopping her, she took it as a challenge.
Oh, I've never been afraid to jump into the deep end because I'm a pretty good swimmer. I mean, I've reinvented myself so many times already. Why not?
And the seemingly impossible became reality. Minette Monroe became Dr. Monroe. And her passion for teaching also fulfilled when at the age of 51, she was named assistant professor of pathology at the University of Central Florida College of Medicine. Now all she had to do was find a way to include her love of horses.
Talk to me about what you're seeing and feeling and smelling and sensing when you're working together with the horse. So I started researching some of the treatments that had been done with veterans in PTSD and traumatic brain injury and discovered there were a lot of kind of just stories about it, but not any real empirical research, no evidence-based research yet.
This was her opportunity, a groundbreaking study of equine therapy. Dr. Monroe had found a way to combine all three of her life's passions, thanks to the opportunities provided by the UCF Medical School.
Keep your heels down, shoulders back, military posture, relaxed.
This facility is allowing you to do work that's never been done before.
Isn't that wonderful? Yes, it is. It's just such a creative place, and really allows you to be the kind of physician and the kind of teacher, and more importantly, the kind of person that you want to be, and to explore all those different opportunities.
This opportunity could change the lives of those suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome.
We're the only college of medicine, and I'm the only medical physician who is actually out here working with the veterans.
Lyndon Ortiz served in the Marines until he suffered a debilitating injury that left his life in a downward spiral.
Well, actually, before I started here, I had just dropped out of college, got divorced. I was in a dark hole. But this structure from here, just volunteering and then doing the veterans program, got me back on track. I'm back in school. I'm getting my master's. It's something I never thought possible.
After his case of PTSD, Chris Veit wondered if he'd ever be himself again, until working with horses seemed to change everything.
To be able to see myself being able to get back into the swing of things, be able to see my family noticing that I'm getting back into the swing of things, it gives me chills right now. It's an amazing feeling just to know that I'm on my way back. You know, even though it might take some time, at one point I will be back and I'll be happier than ever.
Equine therapy even helped Steve Molnauer, whose long Army career was ended by a traumatic brain injury.
The horses has helped me to learn to communicate better with not only my family, but people in general.
That makes me have hope. It makes me have hope that people who are struggling with all kinds of issues in their lives, from isolation and loneliness and overreaction to stimuli and all the things that go along with PTSD and with being a veteran returning to civilian life, it gives me hope that there is life ahead for these young men and young women who come and work with us.
And now I see that every prescription should have come with a pill. There's other ways of therapy to help veterans with post-traumatic stress.
That's a good job. Keep your pace up. Beautiful spacing.
Dr. Manette Monroe is changing lives, all because she found a way to combine her three greatest passions to make a difference for others. Her outlook on life, willingness to take risks, and desire to dream have led her to a fulfilling life of purpose. And who knows what's next?
What drives you? Is it passion? Is it challenge? Is it accomplishment?
It's curiosity. I can't wait to see what happens tomorrow. Literally cannot wait to see what new thing is going to unfold in my life tomorrow. And something fantastic happens almost every single day.
Curiosity, being eager for each new day and always looking for new opportunities. Mark, how often do we hear that from people who are aging successfully, and that's the way she lives her life?
Yeah, I love that story, and for a whole lot of different reasons, Bill. You mentioned many of them. Dr. Manette Monroe, who didn't get her medical degree until she was in her 50s. Most of us would think that's just too late, but now she's at the UCF College of Medicine, and she is proving to all of us, if you really want to make a difference, if you really want to change your life, age should not be a deterrent.
When you're planning your financial future, have you thought about taking a holistic approach? We'll explain how that can help next on Growing Bolder. Sign up for the Growing Bolder Insider newsletter, delivered to your inbox every week. Be the first to see our latest interviews, stories, and tips for making each day count. Sign up today at growingbolder.com. Miss an episode of Growing Bolder Radio? Subscribe to our podcast and get it on your mobile device. Details at growingbolder.com/podcasts. This is Growing Bolder. I'm Bill Schaefer along with Mark Middleton, and our next guest is an attorney and a certified financial planner. She's the founding partner and managing member of a boutique law firm that specializes in estate planning, probate, and trust administration.
Yeah, who can't use more of that? Her specialty is making the complex appear simple. She focuses on a holistic view of life planning and helping her clients reassess their priorities by supporting causes whose mission actually reflects their values and their heart. She has a passion for community service. She is a well-known and highly respected philanthropist who not only volunteers a great deal of her time, but serves on multiple boards and does a tremendous amount of pro bono professional work, what we call Growing Bolder. Let's welcome Helen Van Dalteren-Fournier. Helen, how are you this morning?
I'm great. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your time. And let's get right to it, because you are definitely a thought leader in your space. The good news these days is that with the right lifestyle choices, we can live longer, more active lives than we thought. The bad news is that there is now the very real and growing possibility of actually outliving our money. How can we ensure that we don't outlive our assets?
Well, there's a couple things that I talk to my clients about. I get them to calculate what are their actual income needs, to do a cash flow analysis. You know, there's always going to be items, large and small, that are missed. But according to a recent study that I read from J.P. Morgan, most expenses other than health care grow at slightly less than 2%. Health care is our largest single expense and is the fastest growing, an annual increase of over 7%. Therefore, when you set up a retirement plan, I would ask you to include different options, such as funding a health savings account prior to retirement, or making sure that you purchase a great Medicare supplement plan that will cover the majority of your health-related copay and coinsurance expenses should you choose traditional Medicare.
And Helen, I want to dive in a little bit to what the things are that make you kind of unique and different. And Mark touched on something that got my attention in the intro. He talked about how you specialize in a holistic view of estate planning. What is that, and how can we all incorporate that into our own plan?
Sure. When you think of a holistic view, not only of estate planning, but financial planning, sometimes you'll go meet with a financial advisor, and all they do is they talk about you need life insurance or you need to purchase an annuity. So they only look at one section of your plan, or you might meet with an advisor who just talks about asset allocation and what kind of mutual funds or exchange-traded funds you should be buying. As a certified financial planner and a person who I believe in the holistic view of looking at anyone's finances, I want to look, dive deep into the details, like what is your deductible on your car insurance, and why do you have it at $250 versus $1,000, and I want to know, what do you want to do with your estate planning? And we've got to look at everything, the 30,000 foot big picture question, and to answer all of those questions. I actually tell my clients that by the time we're finished with their financial plan, I'm going to know their finances better than they do.
You know, Helen, as you mentioned, we could take a deep dive into any of these topics, and we really want to expose some of your ideas to people. Can we, for lack of a better term, have a little bit of a lightning round now and throw a few quick questions at you and get your response to it, if that's okay?
Sure.
At what age and under what circumstance should we consider converting a retirement account to a Roth IRA? When does that make sense?
Yes, and as an attorney, I would always give you the answer, it depends. But what you want to look at is you want to look at what your current income is. And if your current income is causing you to pay an increased premium for your Medicare Part B, then you want to look at converting some of those pre-tax retirement dollars to after-tax dollars. And that's for someone 65 and older. But if you're younger than that and you think tax rates are going up, and I don't know anybody who doesn't think the tax rates are going up, you really want to look at doing either the Roth IRA, the Roth 403B, or the Roth 401k.
You talked about so many of us being over 65 now. So that brings into account the monthly payout. Do you go bigger based on your age alone, or do you go lower based on both spouses?
Yeah. You know, that's one of the biggest questions that people ask me is, should we take the option where just one of the spouses get the larger monthly income, and then when they die, there's nothing left for the surviving spouse? And again, it goes all the way back to that basic of knowing what your cash flow needs are, and exactly what your income streams are, your Social Security, your any pensions that are out there, You know, a lot of people think that when one spouse dies, the other spouse gets both Social Security payments. Well, we all know that's incorrect. You only receive the higher of the two. So you have to put, I call it pencil to paper, and go through the numbers. But once you go through the numbers, you'll have such a understanding that you'll feel so much better about your retirement plan.
We're speaking with Helen Von Dalter and Fournier, who is an attorney and certified financial planner. And, you know, we've reached the age, Helen, where we're fortunate if we still have our parents, and we need to fairly quickly make some important estate planning decisions. What documents do you recommend that every baby boomer should not only have for themselves, but for their parents as well?
Yes, absolutely. You need a durable power of attorney for your finances, and you need to be sure that power of attorney is presented to all your financial institutions. And then you need a power of attorney for your health care, also known as a health care surrogate, which will tell the doctors who to call in case of an emergency and who's going to make your medical decisions for you.
Helen, we have about a minute left, and this is such, as Mark said, a wide-ranging topic. None of us are experts at it. None of us know as much as we should. What's the takeaway? What do you see happening out there? What do we all need to watch for?
Yeah, I would ask that people visit with a financial planner, and I would say go to the gold standard in financial planners. Only visit with a certified financial planner because they have certain ethical boundaries that they have to do what's right for you as a client first. Anyone can call themselves a financial advisor, but you want to visit with a certified financial planner, and you want someone who's going to look at your entire life, your entire financial life, not just one section of it.
She is a very bright woman with a lot of information we could all use more of. And folks, you really should check out her website. It is aegis-rj.com. That's aegis-rj.com. And Bill, one of the things that makes her unique is she helps people, figure out a way to contribute to support charitable organizations in a way that makes sense financially. So it's kind of a win-win.
And anytime we get information, she talked about finding certified financial planners. You have to find somebody you could trust who knows what they're doing and takes care of you because it's your life.
And she is a great thought leader. Some important advice this morning on some of the issues that affect us all. Helen, thanks so much for your time.
When we come back, we'll be joined by big-time actor Billy Bob Thornton, who's also become a big-time musician. Billy Bob is next on Growing Bolder.
We've got news. Watch.growingbolder.com, the world's first streaming site for active adults, is now live. Growing Bolder TV shows, national specials, documentaries, and inspiring videos on ordinary people living extraordinary lives 24/7 on demand for free. Watch.growingbolder.com is now live.
Is great new music from one of the most interesting bands out there today, and you're about to find out why. I'm Bill Schaefer. This is Growing Bolder, and the band is the Boxmasters. Now, how are they growing bolder? Because they're all musicians who have had big-time success. They've had struggles, and they've come together to tell stories and song that'll make you feel and that'll make you think. Joining us now is the great Mr. Billy Bob Thornton and Axeman extraordinaire Mr. J.D. Andrews. How are you guys?
Pretty good.
Great to have you with us. I know you're in the middle of a tour. There's lots going on. And a quick question for Billy Bob to start us off. Strong vocals, poignant drumming, kind of getting to be expected from you these days. And why not? This is the fourth Boxmasters release, but do you still find a lot of us out there surprised that music is and always has been your passion?
Yeah, that's what I started out in as a kid. And that's all I ever did until 1981, when I moved to California to be in a band and got out there and discovered that you can't go to California with $500 and expect it's going to last very long. And so I ended up you know, in an acting class, one thing led to the next, and I had to do what I had to do. And I've been very fortunate. And so really the 80s are about the only decade I didn't play music because I was having to keep my head above water. And I started back in the 90s doing demos again and made 4 solo records. And then J.D. and I formed the Boxmasters in about 2007. And this is our 4th release. And you know, it's funny. We've got probably 5 or 6 records in the can that we're going to be putting out, you know, sporadically on the website because, you know, no label is going to put out 5 records a year for you. So if they did, we would record them.
You know, guys, we talk on this program all the time about that, you know, like, what's the key to life? What do you do when you're lost? And generally the answer is follow your passion, because that's going to take you where you're supposed to be. And J.D. Andrews is also here. J.D., you've been on an amazing journey since your days in Orlando at Full Sail. And for those thinking about trying something where everybody looks at you and says, oh, you'll never make it, what does it take? What does it take to not listen to them and to keep on trying?
You know, it's funny because I didn't, you know, this is, you know, usually people start, you know, as a performer and, you know, an artist, and then they kind of veer off into the job that, you know, makes them money and offers them stability and stuff like that. And it's kind of the opposite for me, because I started out with the more seemingly stable and, kind of sustainable career as a recording engineer. And then I veered off to being, you know, starting the band with Billy. So, and I don't know if I'm a good person to look to for how to do a career, but, you know, the great thing is that, you know, I did hook up with Billy, and we, you know, have had almost, you know, 9 years of just constant music making, even though there was, about a 5-year period in there where no one saw us. That whole time we were just recording music, writing songs, and just really getting better at what we do. So, you know, it's good to finally pop out and put out this record somewhere down the road and, let people see, you know, hey, this is the growth we've been having, you know, and this is the journey that we've been on.
Yeah, you know, it seems like it's all about, from both of your perspectives, you came at it from an entirely different angle, but it's taking advantage of your opportunities and finding a way to say what's in your heart. The new Boxmasters double disc is called Somewhere Down the Road. Let's check out this new tune called Away Away.
I wonder where that old smoking truck is going. How much longer will that one tail light keep?
Music has real grit to it. There's great storytelling and powerful imagery from J.D. Andrews, Billy Bob Thornton, and the Boxmasters. You guys really seem to have something to say, kind of a stark honesty to your songs, something the 20-somethings don't really do. How would you guys say experience and wisdom colors your music?
Well, I think experience is probably the most important thing for a writer, and that goes for any type of writing. I mean, if it's a novel, a song, or screenplay, whatever it is, you know, I think it's really all about life experience. And I'm not saying that somebody who's 19 can't write something and have, because you may have had an incredible experience by the time you're that age. But I think your strongest work is always going to be what's based on either personal experience or personal observation.
You know, Billy, it seems to us that it's either following your passion or overcoming obstacles that makes all of us reach for more in life. And you've said before many times your life completely changed years ago when your brother passed away completely unexpectedly. Now, this year you hit the big 6-0, and I get the impression you're the kind of guy who appreciates and tries to make the most out of every day. Is that what pushes you forward?
Oh, absolutely. Zelma Redding said about her husband, Otis Redding, that she thought Otis had a speeding spirit. And I kind of feel a little bit of that myself, too. You know, it's like I want to do everything I can every day. It's like I feel pressed to cram everything that I want to express in, you know. And it's, you know, it can get pretty intense that way. You know, it places pressure on yourself, but at the same time, at the end of the day, if you expel all that stuff, you know, it's pretty rewarding, too.
JD, how about you? You're one of the most respected guys out there in the music biz. What can we learn about life from the way that you've lived yours?
Well, just, you know, just listening to, you know, when you talk about Billy that way, you know, it makes me remember, you know, we haven't done it as much in the last couple of years, but back when Billy had a studio at his house, we used to work, you know, like 6 days a week, and usually between, you know, like 14, 15, 16 hours. And, you know, we did that for about 5 years straight, and, you know, it was incredibly difficult at the time, but, you know, looking back at it, you know, we, for one, got better as writers and musicians and, you know, really figured out what we were doing, you know, with this band, the Boxmasters. And, you know, and we really, you know, just got a lot of songs and really, you know, got to where we really had our thing down, and with a lot of experimentation along the way and a lot of, you know, kind of craziness. But, you know, it's like we would have never gotten to where we are now if we wouldn't have done all of that work, you know, at the beginning.
And where we are now.
You know, it was very hard at the start, but we got, you know, here we are.
That's awesome, guys. And your hard work has really paid off for us, because the album is somewhere down the road, a double disc, and let's just call it Musical Emotion. It's great. It's deep. It's gritty. If you want to pick it up or check out some tour dates, just head to theboxmasters.com. Our thanks to Billy Bob Thornton and J.D. Andrews for a great interview. Good luck, guys. Up next, meet the fastest 85-year-old man in the world. This is Growing Bolder.
We've got news. Watch.growingbolder.com, the world's first streaming site for active adults, is now live. Growing Bolder TV shows, national specials, documentaries, and inspiring videos on ordinary people living extraordinary lives 24/7 on demand for free. Watch.growingbolder.com is now live.
This is Growing Bolder. I'm Bill Schaefer with Mark Middleton. And many times on this program, you've heard interviews with people in their 40s and 50s and 60s and even higher who are setting world records in sports that they excelled in when they were back in high school and college, only to return to them later in life. Well, now we've got a story for you that's just a little bit different.
I love these kind of stories, because you're about to meet the number one runner in the world in the 800 and the 1500 meters in his age group. But here's the catch. He did not run in college. His high school team didn't even have a track team. So he's a bit of an unlikely champion, but proof of one of Growing Bolder's mantras that it is never too late. So let's meet the fastest 85-year-old on the planet from Providence, Rhode Island, Mr. Dennis Branham. Hey, Dennis, how you feeling today?
I'm feeling fine, thank you.
Does 85 really feel okay, or are you just trying, pulling our leg a little bit?
85 feels okay.
Hey, Dennis, let's talk a little bit about how this all came about, because what, you were in your late 30s when you first decided to get serious about running. What made you want to start then?
Well, I had read in Reader's Digest Dr. Kenneth Cooper had written the book Aerobics, and it gave you a yardstick to go to a track and do some running and get in shape for anyone who wanted to be physically fit.
All from a book. You know, folks, that's the power of inspiration. And now you're inspiring others, really, which is what our program is all about, Dennis. We want to find people like you, and we want to talk to them and put them out there so others can be inspired. What's it like running in the 85-plus age group now? I know there's not a lot of people in it, but goodness gracious, 10 years ago, there was probably nobody. Are you finding more and more older people that are starting to run like you?
Yes, I am, and I like that very much. Yes.
Do you like to beat them? Are you still competitive? Or?
Yes, I like to beat them.
And Dennis,
yes,
how much do you like it when people look at you and they say, "Oh no, you're too old to be doing that"?
Well, I don't know what. Perhaps I kind of. Look out of a pair of eyes that are 18 years old, and my brain says I'm 18 years old, and so I really, the 85 doesn't mean much to me.
Tell us a little bit about the community of Masters Track and Field, because I know that's got to be one of the big attractions to you, hanging out with people not only your age but younger people. I mean, you get a lot of support and encouragement in that community, I'm guessing.
Yes. Since they have started the Masters program, where they will rate you according to age, 5-year age groups, And there's so many people in the meet that it is so interesting. You know, you're around the 40s, 50s, 60s, and on. And it's nice to line up beside some of the world record holders in the Masters, It's really quite exciting.
Dennis, Mark talked about the power of inspiration, and you mentioned a book that you read when you were in your late 30s that got you running. But I understand, too, that there was another big change you made in your life around the same time, something that President Kennedy said that inspired you to move to Florida.
Yes. I was working in a uranium mine in New Mexico, and I read about this in the newspaper, and so I just took off and went to Florida and was interviewed, and they liked the experience I had and so forth, and they gave me a job. So I went about moving down there, moving the family down, and I had such an interesting job for over 30 years, and that started before the Apollo program to land a man on the moon, and lasted on into the shuttle program, and it was interesting all the way, and it was a really wise choice.
You know, Mark, I just want to tell you that he was an electronics technician for those space missions. So he had a very key role in the space program.
Yeah, folks, we're talking with Dennis Branham, who had careers in the aerospace industry. And then after that, unlike many people his age, he's basically created a whole new life where he is now the top 800-meter and 1,500-meter runner in the world in the 85 to 89-year-old age group. And, you know, running 800 meters and 1,500 meters at the clip that they run at is not an easy thing to do. What do you get out of it, Dennis? I mean, if you had to pick the top one or two things that you get back for the effort that you put in, what would you say it is?
You know, probably one of the best things I like, I go to Brown Stadium track, 2 days a week, Mondays and Wednesdays. And I work out with people, and they are all older. I mean, I'm sorry, they're all younger than I am. And I look forward to every one of those workouts.
That's amazing. And I know that in your career you've run over 20 marathons. You've even run the Boston Marathon 6 times. When's the last time you ran a marathon?
1991.
Wow.
I started having ankle problems, and I didn't really know how to get rid of the problem. And so I backed off on the running, and I was able to compete in shorter races, and I still had the problem right on up until the year 2000. So as I met a coach up here in Providence, Rhode Island, I was able to do the proper stretching and this sort of thing, and I found that I could run more, and I stayed with the coach, and I'm still with him.
Folks, he's 85 years old. He's running faster than any human being in the history of the planet. Dennis, give us, in the last 20 seconds, if you can, what's the takeaway? What's the moral of your story? What do you want us to know about life that you know?
Well, I want you to know that I really think of myself as not being old. And each time that I run with younger people, it makes me think I'm younger, and it also makes me more fit to run. And another thing, I'm married to a beautiful woman who runs also, and life is doing quite well for me.
A little inspiration from the fastest 85-year-old 800 and 1500 runner in the world. How about that from Mr. Dennis Branham? Thanks, Dennis.
Time now for a quick takeaway, and it starts with an important question. At what point is it too late to do what you love to do? The answer? It is when you think it is. There's no expiration date on your dreams, folks. We bring you examples every week of people doing things they never even expected to do and living lives they never thought possible. Here's the point. They all started the very same way, by trying something different, by breaking their routine, by taking a chance.
Yeah, and we all know change can be intimidating and difficult, but the best change and the most lasting change happen in small, doable steps, one at a time. Live the life you want to live. Be the person you want to be. Oh yeah, you will run into roadblocks, and you will absolutely find a way around them, and before you know it, you'll be amazed at the life that you can create. All things start at growingbolder.com.
The Growing Boulder Radio Show is a production of Growing Boulder, LLC, all rights reserved. This program was recorded at Growing Boulder Studios in Orlando and is available as a weekly podcast on NPR One, iTunes, Spotify, and TuneIn. It is written and produced by Jill Middleton, Mark Middleton, and Bill Schaefer. Technical director is Jason Morrow. Production manager is Michael Nanis. Chief audio engineer is Mac Dula. And our most important team member, you. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram to keep growing bolder every day.
Crimson flames tied through my ears, flowing high and mighty trapped. Countless fires. Older than I'm younger than that now. Half right prejudice leap for rip down all hate I scream. Lies that life is black and white.
so much older then, I'm younger than that now. Shoulder then,